Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming. I'm your handler, Brad, joined here by my buddies Joe, Dace, and John.
Hello.
We are at the end of the road. Remember to forget.
Yeah. Have you thought about what happens if we TPK and how you're going to narratively wind this up when we all inevitably roll fumbles at the worst moments?
Well, nope.
Nope. Yeah, that's fair.
Hopefully that doesn't happen, but it could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you said you had something you want to talk about, Joe?
No, yo, I actually had a question. This is something we have not talked about. We've been doing, because what year are we in? Are we in 87?
84.
Is that right? 84. So this is taking place in 1984. We have not even talked about, like, this is low-hanging fruit that we should talk about. Like, what is all of you guys' favorite piece of 80s media? Like, what is your go-to, like, this is my favorite
Buckaroo Banzai
thing? What?
Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai? What is Buckaroo Banzai?
Oh, brother, when you come down to visit for the holidays, I've got a movie for you.
That could be a whole DG scenario in itself.
Yeah, it really could. I was getting some major Buckaroo Banzai vibes when you were describing the sort of operation that these cultists have set up. Like the bar scene from Buckaroo Banzai. I was like, this is that.
Yeah.
But it's The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension is the whole title.
Yeah, dude, it's rad. So the main character, Buckaroo Banzai, is a master race car driver. He's a master guitarist, a bugle player. He's a doctor. He's friends with the president. Yeah, proficient at combat. Proficient with weapons.
Okay. This is along the same lines as MacGyver being good at everything, right? It's like there's the protagonist who can do nothing wrong and is always the best in the room at everything, right?
And also the coolest in the room
and the coolest
at all times.
The main actor is the same actor that was RoboCop. I forgot his name.
Okay, yeah. That's right up there with Flash Gordon. That's
oh yeah, seems like it's got that's a good comparison. Feel. Flash Gordon, but in the 80s, which Flash Gordon is, but like
Pumpkin more Cake 80s. Said yes, Buckaroo Banzai Blue Blazer Regulars.
I know that one.
Blue Blazers Regulars is, yeah. It sounds wacky. Yeah, that might be a good like late night, like Discord watch together of like some old media. What about you, Jean? What's your favorite 80s thing? I know you're not that much older than us, so it's not like you have a different connection to the 80s than we do, really.
Well, aside from growing up in a different place, I think I got the best exports, but probably from the 90s onwards, not so much the 80s. Oh, okay. So I've had to make an intentional effort to go back to the 80s. But no, I don't have anything offhand. Next question.
Next question. Okay, thank you, John, for abstaining. Excellent stuff. What about you, Brad?
It's honestly responsible.
It's very responsible. Well, and Brad, you are a... I think Dace had mentioned this early on when we first started Remember to Forget, the idea of, like, the way to the meta play in Remember to Forget to get jokins is to bring up music that Brad likes from the 80s.
Yes.
Because Brad like has like a big repertoire of like 80s music and stuff.
I
like
imagine
that. Is it music or movies, or what's your favorite thing?
I don't think Brad would be described as a connoisseur. He would be like a sommelier of the 80s.
Of the 80s.
Definitely not.
That's beautiful.
But
it has notes of
lightning.
Cold War. That's
retro wave.
You have to waft in.
Right. I don't know. I like, you know, Predator's great. It's like the Predator. I like Predator a lot. As far as like action movie goes, just because it's like starts. If you didn't know anything about Predator and you went into it blind, which is hard to do because it's so relevant, and pop culture, but like think about like people seeing that for the first time. Like the first half isn't like about fighting aliens. It's just like a straight up commando movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, it turns into a sci-fi thing, which is crazy. Yeah. And they're all just like badasses to the upteenth degree, but like not in a cheesy way. Like they're actually cool badasses, in my opinion.
Yes.
And the best little nugget is, so they're listening to a song in the helicopter on the ride there. I forgot what it's called. But they're listening to a song in the helicopter with the red light, all just being badasses, like throwing knives, and the other one's catching a knife. They're like dipping, and they're talking bullshit to the like the CIA agent that's tagging along with them.
Yeah.
About how badass they are. Long Tall Sally is what it's called. And it's just like it's a 40s song, I think.
Right.
Long Tall Sally. Yeah. But then when one of the song? Yeah. But when the one of the guys is going crazy towards the end before he gets by Little Richard, when the thing's gone to shit and people are dying, one of the main guys, I forgot his actor's name, but he's like one of the coolest ones. His buddy with the Gatling gun dies. Yeah. And he sees the Predator and he's going after him. He's like, he's just saying random shit, it sounds like, when he's like breaking down and taking all the shit off his vest and crawling, but he's actually reciting lyrics from the song.
Okay, that's really
good. But it just sounds like he's saying random shit. He's like, Long Tall Sally, she's got everything I need. And she's like, pulled off his shit.
Everything I need.
It's the details.
Dude, that's really good.
Yeah.
I love that.
I can get behind Predator.
One of my favorite details about Predator is one of the badasses in the helicopter initially, the sort of skinny guy, skinny compared to them,
right,
with glasses, Shane Black, is also a writer. I can't remember if he wrote Predator, but
he at least co-wrote it. Sure he had something to do with the production.
And also Lethal Weapon, Long Kiss Goodnight, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh man.
Just fucking, what he's just what a guy,
dude. Yeah. There's like a certain, like you talk about, like, you know, that there's that time, that era of commando movies, right? Yeah. That's like such an 80s thing, you know. And will it repeat itself at some point in time? I don't know. Maybe it kind of did in like the Jason Bourne, you know, like the Bourne Ultimatum series, the and stuff like that.
Spy thriller,
that yeah, was spy more thriller, like very similar,
2000s, early 2000s, I think.
Right.
But then as far as comedy goes, I love Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's good. I think that my big one is they're popping off in the chat. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Shit, that was from the
That's classic.
But also in Will's got my top one, Blade Runner.
Ooh, yeah.
Like,
good choice.
Hands down.
Revolutionary.
Like, and the remake of Blade Runner, I love. Like, I think it hits it. I think it really respects the feel. You know,
so it
falls into that very narrow category of movies that might actually be better than the original.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
it shares that honor with Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Like, arguably better than the second one in the series, which was
it's definitely one of those things that you can tell that when that in the way that the movie's written, you know, you, like, I remember, like, Gabby and I watched the original Alien and we were like, god damn, this is slow. Like, there's so just slow, like, it was like there are huge, you know, because there's, it's just an era of film in which long sweeping shots that go on for 5 minutes at a time where nothing's happening in the shot. They're just showing you the scene. That was just like what was done. And it does make you appreciate that cinema has changed and advanced, you know, in this time. And I think that when you see Blade Runner, when you see Fury Road, that's what you're seeing, because there are definitely bits of the original Mad Max movies that are pretty damn slow.
When done right. I like the slow stuff when done in Alien. Right, yeah. With the remake again, fucking Hans Zimmer, that's like a huge feat for him musically, because I don't know, for me that would be a big, like, it's one thing to create your own style of art, your own feel for a movie, but he had to take, he took the music from, he's a Greek composer that did the music for the original Blade Runner. His name's escaping me right now. But Hans Zimmer took that style and expanded upon it and stayed true to that soundtrack, but like made his own tracks, which was like crazy to me.
And Ben Gillis? So cool.
Yep. Yep. Him.
Yeah.
What about someone you guys? Said
that wasn't me. Yeah.
But that was great with the new Blade Runner. And the new Blade Runner's more of like sci-fi than noir, which the other one's more like noir than sci-fi. A cool tidbit I saw.
I just think it's because they didn't have the technology to make it as sci-fi. Like, just like they didn't have what it took to get the aesthetic.
The whole reason why Blade Runner, according to Ridley Scott, is so dark and always shot in night and rainy is because he said the sets looked so bad, that's the only way he could make it look good. If it was dark and like smoke everywhere.
Exactly. It was so shit that they're like, we gotta turn these lights down.
Yeah.
We gotta
I'd never heard
of it. Just looks like plastic. Awesome. That alien looks like it's made of plastic, because it is.
Right. Well, it's like that
It's the same thing like in
Jaws. Yeah, I was like, just about to say the same thing, yeah.
Okay. We've probably had this exact same conversation before.
Yeah. What about what is your go to?
Yeah, Dace? What's yours, Dace?
For
I said Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, that's right. You said
fine.
They're lots.
Yeah. I forgot about it. That was so old already.
Yeah, Buckaroo Banzai is a recent revelation. That's a new love, but I have old loves as well.
Right. You know, though, like there is like, you know, we joke about like that scene where the guy gets his stomach punched out and Kung Pao into the fist.
Kung Pao.
But like there is a whole era of, you know, there's of those really, really campy kung fu movies, right? That were definitely also very 80s films. And it's like, and some of them would take themselves so seriously that they're funny. Like, that's the part that makes
did you say Bloodsport?
Yeah.
Bloodsport!
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
I fucked with some Bloodsport, and I recently rewatched it, like, in the past 2 months. And it is so insanely cheesy.
Dude, yeah. Like,
it is built for 12-year-old teenage boys.
I watched Bloodsport with you when we were like 12. And we were like, this is the best thing we've ever seen.
So, Dace, you'll probably remember this, but there's a meme I've seen several times. The shot where they're like the big, strong guy, Van Damme, and the smaller other dude, Asian dude, are walking through the street, and there's this cheesy AZ music playing. And it's just like the memes, like, me and my boys in a new town. It's just like that scene where they're, like, walking around
that's
the
so
street.
Good. There's, like, that, this like, the at the crescendo, there's that slow-mo scene where Van Damme is throwing the final punch, and his face is, it's just, like, close up on his face with, like, shitty 80s slow-mo. Like, it's not, they just, like, have turned
the frame
rate
down. Yeah.
And so you're seeing individual frames as they go, and his eyes are all buggy. He's like, so stupid. But it's so good. Like, and it's very 80s, right? It's just,
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
God, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not a, that's the thing, is like, I think that, like, every era of, like, media and stuff like that gives us individual things. It's like, and I think it was something that Skid from Glass Cannon had mentioned. Like, there's this tendency for people to be like, oh man, like 80s music was so much better, 90s music was so much better. And he's like, and what he brings up is like, it wasn't. It's just you're not listening to all the garbage music, all the garbage movies that were available. Only the good ones survived. You didn't have to listen to the radio to 10 bullshit songs to get to one good one.
Yeah,
so
that's definitely true for music. Like, there's always good music through every era, but just some music's more popular than others.
Right.
Except for now.
Especially in the 80s.
I think we've got,
no,
yeah, we've got all the music we need. We've got all the movies and music for a lifetime. We're done. In fact, we're done. We don't need it.
We
peaked.
Don't need this. You don't need this.
The singularity.
There's enough podcasts out there.
This is the end times, folks.
You don't need this. Take it from me.
from John and how wise and aged he is.
Sorry, Brad, I interrupted you on the pinnacle of your argument. Okay,
it's fine. It doesn't matter. All right,
probably doesn't.
He's just running the show. It doesn't fucking matter. But John, like, there's nothing. Oh, actually, there was one thing too that I was thinking of that is like, Very much. And this is actually probably not... Actually, I think... Now that I think about it, this might not even be 80s. I think it actually is 70s now that I think about it. It's MASH. I watch a lot of MASH. Man.
I never watched a lot of that.
Pretty sure that was 70s, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, you guys ready to try to get through this?
Let's fucking do it. Do so. This.
All right. Short recap. explosive last episode. You just guys showed up at this weird cult house in Houston. They seem to have some affiliation with this great race. And they're like, basically, here's what you got to do. Here's what's going to happen. Do it. And y'all did it.
Easy peasy.
You made some choices, and those choices will live with you forever, at least for the next hour.
We don't know how long they're going to live. We don't know.
It basically came to a showdown with the Humbaba, and one of you had to basically do some mind transfer shit to figure out how to even operate this arc when you get there, which is this... It's kind of elusive. You know that this is something at the core of this recursion plot that's going on with Gil, Yuko, Henry. These people that you've been kind of trying to chase and track down and get to the bottom, that's turned into the main DG mission to eliminate these guys or to get rid of them to stop this incursion. This house was full of, like, just counterculture mixed groups in the 80s, and they're, like, they've had, some Molotov cocktails, a light machine gun. They're ready to, like, hold the fort while you guys did this thing. Natalia ended up getting hooked up to this weird, sci-fi device to transfer her brain across dimensions and see various things so that she could possibly grasp and be able to... implode the arc / get you out of the arc if it does implode. While Tyler and Terrence were going to show down with the Humbaba, then they're like, nope, let's go downstairs. So they turn around. It was all you could hear is like what firing upstairs or some kind of, probably a massacre that went on. Who knows who won, if anyone won, or if it's still going on.
I'm sure the good guys won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quote-unquote good guys. But Natalia came through. She is very low on sanity. But she has gained some unnatural knowledge in the meantime and can probably handle this device when you come into contact with it. This, I think Joe's called it Techromancer.
Archie.
Put y'all basically in a teleportation device and sent y'all to this other space, and that's where y'all are now. It's just a concrete room with one door in front of you, and it's just like snap, you're there, and it's very like it's echoing, like when you step it's just like reverb endlessly, more so than what it should be in this small room. You're even like a little like floaty, not like as floaty as you feel lighter, gravitationally, not as much as like being on the moon, but like it's yeah, and yeah,
and I'm sure everything is fine.
You okay? Right. Everybody okay?
I think Tyler feels like, as someone who makes his own skim milk, Tyler definitely has vertigo in this situation if he's feeling floaty. And he's like, oh, kind of like just swaying on his feet.
Natalia, did you make it out of there? Are you okay? You didn't look like you were all there when we picked you up.
I think I understand. To work the arc.
Oh. Good? Question mark?
Can you destroy it?
1,000-yard stare. Yes, destroy it. That's right. Yes. Yes. Yes, of course I can destroy. Wouldn't I be able to destroy the Arctic? I've seen things.
Can I see if she's lying? I got a success on my human. She lying?
You see, she's super unstable. She's definitely confident in this. And Natalia, even you know it's not quite destroy. It's more. It's something deeper. It's implode. It's gonna. You know how to make it fold in on itself and end.
Where do we go? Is there like a door or something? Or is like
there's,
you know, it's like
one
it's
door.
Like a very obvious. We're just like in a big empty concrete room with one door.
Yep.
I mean, he's kind of getting his feet. He's like, this place feels so weird. I mean, do we just go? Like,
of course. What else would we do? And Natalia walks up and opens the door.
You open the door. It's a long hallway. It seems to be in like a 1940s style. There's some picture frames on the hallway. It's just a straight shot, and there's three doors, two on the right. One looks ancient, stone. The other one, normal house door. There's a telephone on a table, and like it's like this 1940 style looking thing. And then one door, straight shot to the end of the hallway. And as this happens, kind of finality of situation sits on you, like falls on you. Natalia, our first Terrence and Tyler, roll Sandy for just being teleported to this other time and space.
I don't know.
That's a fumble for me.
Wow. Natalia, I'm gonna
give you some slack because you were just transported across dimensions and shit. We'll say you have like a little bit of, you know,
resilience.
Oh, whoops, I accidentally clicked.
This is nothing.
From what Natalia saw, this is nothing.
Okay. Failure for me as well.
Pull yourself together.
Regular failure for me.
All right, Terrence, you take 4. Tyler, roll 1d4 or deflect.
All right, I'm past a breaking point.
I will take my 1.
All right. Tyler, now, but Natalia, it sets in, you know, you broke in the midst of your travels, and we have to deal with your new disorder. Is there any you don't have yet?
Which ones do you not have? Megalomania would be kind of funny.
Brad also need
yeah,
one.
Because
how would that go?
I crossed a breaking point.
Well, you know this untold knowledge. You have more stats and unnatural now.
Here's the description of megalomania. What does it mean to look upon the face of a dead god and live? Some see themselves as messiahs or exempt from ordinary morality.
That's it.
Perfect.
If I'm allowed to choose, that just makes so much sense narratively.
It does. So we'll say you're in this state right now. You know, your straight up depression has been pushed to the back. Your multiple personality, I forgot what the other first one you had. Basically, this when you revert back to your child, has it reversed, and now you have this megalomania on top of it that's pushing through the surface of your personality.
Oh, man.
All be well. Here, have a cigarette. It helps. Have a cigarette. Terrence, Tyler.
Tyler takes the cigarette.
Hey, yeah. Terrence will take it.
Terrence takes a cigarette, and you hand him the lighter, but Terrence, you're hitting the lighter. You can't quite light it as this new disorder sets in on yourself. Let's roll for Terrence's
6 or 4.
Down.
Roll me a 4. Tell me what you get.
3.
Fugues, suffering temporary insanity, or reaching a breaking point causes your agent to shut down into catatonia or wander off in a daze.
Hey.
You're just wandering off in a daze, Terrence. Just snap. Snap. You can't get this thing alive. It
becomes rhythmic.
Oh, there he goes. Okay, okay, bye, Terrence. Okay, Natalia, what are we doing? We just let you wander off.
Forever.
Terrence, you can still interact and move around, but you're just like, you know, you're just in a daze almost.
Once again, Tyler is standing here looking at these two.
Again.
For the third time. And it's just like, oh no. Oh.
Tyler, it's okay. Terrence is enjoying the ambience.
Yeah,
come,
he is.
Come. We have work to do.
Okay.
This way.
Okay. You're in charge.
And he's like looking around, like, because again, like, this place is, it sounds like a bit of like a mishmash of like old and futuristic, and, you know, and
well,
like, in
this
way.
Is just straight up 1940s hallway of a home.
Oh, okay.
Except for one door, which is like stony and looks off.
As we go, he's like looking and listening, and he's trying to find. He's trying to make himself feel better by being alert, like he has some control, but he's feeling like he's losing control, right?
It's right.
Like, so anything to convince himself that he's doing the right thing here. He's trying to be tactical, but he's not a tactical guy.
Right.
Okay, so how does Natalia feel about the stone door? Is there, like, is she drawn to it at all? Like, is this...
Roll a... alertness or a search.
Okay. Behind the screen, so I'm having some tech difficulty today, and one of my computers is dead. I'm still trying to figure out the tablet situation, but in the meantime, Joe, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I got you. What do you want to roll?
What'd you say, Brad?
A search.
Is... a fumble.
That's three fumbles almost in a row.
It's obviously odd, but you don't even know if this is a door. It like almost looks like it's just bricked up, maybe. Like there's no creases or openings at all.
Okay, so maybe she's just there sort of like running her hands over the surface trying to pry into any cracks or crevices, or maybe honestly just caressing it at this point.
Yeah.
Just lost in a little bit of reverie.
Right. Her own thing, man.
Two other doors. As y'all are kind of in the hallway proper, you see like family photos of like an Asian couple and a child.
Oh, this is Yuko. This is Yuko's place. Remember we read about that Yuko in our notes. We have that Yuko had his son and he started calling his son the Himbaba.
Mm. Yeah.
There's references to Yuko's son. And like Tyler like touches the one of these frames. Like he's like, is this Yuko? Is the child like young? Like a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this preteen? He touches the picture of the kid. He's like, is this the Himbaba? This kid?
I think Terrence.
He thinks about like the skin missing in the machinery inside the Himbaba. He's like, who would do this to their own son?
Terrence is probably still flicking the lighter and trying to get a cigarette lit, and he'll probably like, because these
Terrence,
guys aren't
roll
paying attention.
Power to see if he can break through.
Okay. That's a failure. So he's probably just going to go on autopilot and go through one of the doors. I think just a normal looking door. He's just going to like open it whilst clicking this thing. Try and
Which
go through
door do
a door.
You go? There's Not one the... to the side. There's one straight down to the far end. There's one kind of to the side next to this stone surface.
Probably next to the stone.
You open it. It's just like a 1940s bathroom with a tub.
He'll use the bathroom.
He like eases the door closed, and we just hear
number
him
one
pissing.
Or number two.
Yeah, like, are you,
don't know.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What does he need?
What are you doing in there? Roll dice. Roll luck roll.
He'll probably just sit there on
a fumble. You have diarrhea.
He'll sit there on the toilet and focus down on trying to light the cigarette, but pretty much just be in this room now.
You're sitting in this toilet, it's just like you can almost hear echoes of screams. You think you see a figure in the bathtub, and then it goes away. Roll sanity.
That's exactly what he needs right now.
It's an 85.
Assume that's a roll failure. 1d4. Yeah.
1d4.
Jesus. Brad has not pulled the punches.
No.
For sanity nope. loss on this one.
No. That's two, so he's now four away from another breaking point. His next breaking point.
Tyler is gonna ease down,
mumbling to himself,
to the last door. Just these two are like Natalia's rubbing herself up against this stone door. Terrence is pooping himself. And Tyler.
Tyler probably tries to knock, and he just says, "Occupied,
occupado." As you go, like. Tyler goes down the end of the hallway. He's got his gun out, and he like eases open the door, like, and kind of peeks through. You know, he wants to be cool. He wants to make sure no one's sneaking up on us.
You open the door. The same hallway, but everything's destroyed. Like, pictures are falling off the wall. The paper is like ripped. The wallpaper's ripped from the wall. But it's the exact same hallway. And Terrence, you're not sitting on a toilet anymore. You're sitting in that room, the first room, just against the wall. And Natalia, what? You're not rubbing the stone door anymore. You're rubbing the concrete on the wall of the first room. And you have this same hallway in front of you. But it looks destroyed.
The first room that we were like transported to?
Right.
Okay.
As you get to the creases of where the... You're just kind of rubbing it. As you get to the creases, it's not a door anymore. You realize you're just rubbing the wall.
What?
Okay.
Tyler...
What the hell?
Is it this, like, he's seeing this...
Why?
Kind of realizing what's happening. Tyler is going to... Like, he still has that vertigo, and he's going to, like, kind of bend down and kind of, like, dry heave, like, as he has his, like, hands on his knees. And he's just, like... It's just fucking with him.
Terrence is going to just, like, what? What the hell? Why does this lighter not work? What is going on?
God damn it.
This is enough for Terrence to get out of this fugue state.
See, okay, he comes to. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Tyler's going to, like, kind of try to... Like, he's going to go over to the door now, this stone door thing, and is like... He's like, there's gotta be a way out of here. Like, he's starting to get a little panicky. Like, he's like, mm-hmm. There's gotta be something.
Roll a search.
As you know, search is obviously one of Tyler's best skills. Like, he wouldn't have, like, you know, the base plus a little bit more from all the times he's failed. No, like, that's not what's going on.
Oh, so close.
29 over 24. Failure.
Failure. Again, it doesn't even seem like a door. It just seems like the backdrop to the actual wall where the paint is peeling. And you just hear someone crying from the other door next to it that was the bathroom.
That Terrence is no longer in because
right,
he's
yeah.
back in the first room.
Right.
Does he remember what he went through? Does he remember there was a bathroom and the weird spooky bathtub?
Is there somebody out there not having a good time? Somebody... crying out there in the darkness.
Is that joking worthy?
Buckaroo Banzai quote.
It is funny. Tyler, you get a joke in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler is going to, he's got his hands on this wall, and it seemed like a door, now it doesn't. And he hears this crying, and he's just gonna
Okay, Tyler, you've seen a lot of people cry. You've made a lot of people cry. You can do this. You can do this.
And he is going to, again, he's like got his pistol, and he is going to push the door open to look in on what is going on inside this bathroom.
See the same bathroom but you see this figure in the tub. It looks to be the woman from the pictures. She's pregnant, and she's just in the bathtub crying. And she, like, looks at you, just like, help it up. And then disappears.
Mm.
Roll for sanity.
No. Can't tell me what to do.
Is this going to be a Hodor moment?
Hodor. Help it up. I was trying to say help in Japanese.
Success. Okay, she's trying to. Okay, she's trying to say. She's speaking a different language.
Yeah.
Turns out, a success. So is that one?
All right. Yeah, one.
He's just like, he sees her. He's like, and he like, is the picture frame still there, like on the wall?
Yeah, but it's just like broken.
He like snatches it off, and he's like, this woman, she's here. Oh, she's gone. Terrence, Natalia. You know, like, he's not doing well. He's doing better than you guys, but he's still not doing well.
Tyler, come out of there. It's just a bathroom. Come. Let's have a quick huddle.
What are we doing?
That's... Natalia? That's a good question.
Well, obviously we have to find the Ark. It's just a matter of... Overture of the, and she starts rattling off like scientific lingo that I don't know mm-hmm. how to rattle off, and she's just like, you know,
my character does something.
It's simply a matter of calculating the curvature of the blah 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 blah, blah. And then we will find the arc. And
she starts just like wah 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 wah, like at Tyler and Terrence, and we're just like eyes glaze over.
This door, there's something here, but there's nothing here. This was a door, and now it's not.
Can I see the door?
No, it looks like a wall now. It's like, looks like the backdrop of a wall.
Okay, Tyler, you need to just relax. Let's see what options we have. Let's get back to basics. At least we're safe from the Humbaba. Regroup.
Terrence, we're trapped in some type of fucking hell loop. We have the weird room we came from, we have the bathroom of disappearing people, and we have the other room
that I don't remember much
starts
of that.
It all over.
It's... Let's just move forward. Push forward. It's the only way we get through
this. Oh, yeah. Why didn't I think of that? He goes to the end of the hallway, opens the door again.
Same thing. Behind you is the first room, and in front of you is the hallway, but it's back to normal, and in front of you, same thing. Stone.
Can I roll door. An unnatural?
Oh. Sure.
Were you about to say something?
Roll an unnatural.
Joe, if you do the honors,
what are you unnaturaling?
My shit's fucked over here. I'm cooked. 42. You're gonna be rolling for me.
42 over 30 or over 13, so failure.
You don't know if this is unnatural or if this is really happening. Part of you thinks this is really happening. Maybe you've always been in here. And in front of you, all of you, you see a teenage boy in a ski mask and a scalpel in his hand just there. And the phone starts to ring behind him. It's like a rotary phone. Ding, ding. Then he, like, slowly disappears. Everyone roll sanity again.
We're going to be stuck in this fucking hallway just until we all go insane.
And Natalia's like, it's simply due to the nature of liminality. It's a simple thing when you break it down to its essential components.
Fumble for Tyler, failure for Natalia.
I got 2 sanity. That does not make sense. That does not make sense. He's this little boy, and he's gonna try and like walk over and answer the phone. Try and right, like
Tyler,
grasping for normality.
Terrence, you take 2 sanity. Yeah. Dave, roll your sanity, 1d4.
I got it.
3 sanity damage. Do you want to deflect? That would put you at 16 over 12.
I will not deflect for the moment.
Okay. And do I take 4?
Yeah.
I assume. Okay. Fuck me.
It's fine. It's fine. Just let's see who's calling. It's probably... You know what? I think it's going to be Odin. Let's quickly check. He's going to pick up the phone. Odin, hello?
Hello?
Terrence, you open and it's just...
More like exploding, am I right?
Hey, yo.
Take away that joking.
All right. Joking is removed.
Terrence, you open and it's just a woman's voice. And she says, knowledge isn't power. It's death. Dial tone. And the stone door separates.
Oh, it opens?
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if this is, you know, knowledge is not death. Or knowledge is not power, knowledge is death. Knowledge is death is the Latin phrase written on the Delta Green insignia.
Badass.
Terrence.
And so Natalia like takes her glasses off and starts to clean them. And she just glances up at Terrence and she's like, you see? Liminality.
It was actually a message.
Nod knowingly.
It was a message for you, Natalia, I believe, that knowledge is not power, knowledge is death. And click.
And what is death?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no, I don't want to do this.
Tyler.
Power.
I both looked at Tyler. It's like, what do you think, Tyler?
I don't want to get involved.
You have
to. I just want
to
go.
You have to make a choice, Tyler. Make a choice now.
I don't know. I just want to. He looks at this like.
Is it mom or is it dad?
You're making me choose. So Tyler, like, what do we see through this doorway? This like, this stone doors that have opened.
You look in to this room. And Natalia, you recognize this. This was from your visions.
Okay.
This is the room where the Ark is.